My name is Sarah Brock. I manage a restaurant in town called Vino Latte. That is my job. I've been doing it almost 8 years. When I first found out about the refugees coming into town, and forgive me, you're going to have to find the name of the organization because I don't have it in front of my face.
I have it.
Was through a Facebook post that the new refugee new community, I'll get the actual phrase for you off my phone, but they were doing a donation drive. And one of the things that we've always done in my family is try to give back where we can. So I immediately called my mom, and we went to Target. Because that's where you go in Wausau, you know, is Target, to load up on things. So that was my first experience, is we just, you know, sheets and towels and cleaning products and toothbrushes and toothpaste and anything we could think of that a new family coming into town would need. And we loaded up a cart and we took everything. And that was great. And then I got a notification on my Facebook page because I was following them that they were doing a meeting for volunteers. And so I talked to my husband about it. And you're probably familiar with the phrase that if you want something done, you ask a busy woman. So I have a full-time job. I'm also a full-time student. I am doing an online master's program through Gonzaga University in organizational leadership right now. But I told Chris, I'm like, we need to at least go and check it out and see what they have and if there's anything we can do. Both Chris and I have a history in nonprofits and in education. And we've worked a great deal with at-risk kids and first generation college students and things like that out in Colorado. And so we went and we listened and we enjoyed the speakers and learned about some of the things they were doing. And one of the things that they had was a giving tree project. And they just basically had envelopes of tags, and they were encouraging people, you know, put a tree up at work, put a tree up in your lobby, whatever else. And I thought, you know, that's not really something I can do at the restaurant. I don't own the business. I said, but, you know, let me get creative. What I do have is a lot of wine. Mm-hmm. I'm a wine drinker. My store is a wine boutique. So I thought, you know, I can do something online where I create a wine tree and put the tags on the bottles and post something out on Facebook and say, if you fulfill the tag, you get a bottle of wine. And shockingly enough, that works.
That's awesome. So wait, the store that you mentioned, you don't own it.
Vino
Latte?
I manage it.
You manage it. It's called Vino Latte. Tell me a little bit about it.
So Vino Latte is a locally owned cafe and wine boutique. The business itself has been around for, gosh, we're pushing 20 years at this point. I think it's 18. I myself have been with the organization. It was 8 years in, gosh, October. And we've grown from a small, you know, 600 square foot business with some food and some wine to two good sized businesses, one on each side of town. We carry over 400 wines. We have a breakfast menu, a lunch menu. We make artisan pizzas, lots of fun gifts and things like that.
So it's like a restaurant and it's
a wine boutique
and a coffee shop because you're
a coffee shop. Yes. So you can literally go and get coffee and food and wine and presents all at the same time.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay. I just thought of that.
You have to come visit me when you come to town.
I totally will. I'm super intrigued.
I should say it's a female owned local business, which I personally think is super cool.
Okay. Awesome. So you made a tree, like a giving tree, and you said, So tell me about the Giving Tree. What kinds of things are on it? What does it look like?
So absolutely. So the envelopes that they provided us had 12 tags. And each tag, I would say the retail value of each tag is probably right around $50. And they kind of vary. One is 4 sets of towels, wash towels, hand towels, and bath towels. One is cooking tools, pots and pans and kitchen utensils. One is bedding. So they're looking for a queen set and a twin set. Some are gift cards. And they tried to, and what I really love is they tried to do it in ways that places would be easy to get to, because obviously transportation can be a concern. So there's like a pick and save gift card. There's a quick trip gift card. There's a Family Dollar gift card so people can go and load up. There's also like cutlery and food prep and baking tools and baking sets. And, you know, if you think about, and this is really, this is really what got me, you know, what you have are people coming with what they can carry and their family. And I thought to myself, you know, I love to cook. I love to bake. I love to drink wine. I love to drink coffee. If I had to leave my house and I could take what I could carry, what would I take? Because I mean, I have coffee mugs that were my grandmother's, and I have recipes that were my mother's, and I have cookbooks and things like that. And I have obviously my favorite sheets, because, you know, we all have our favorite sheets.
Yeah.
And our favorite pillows, or, you know, I have my books. I love books. And at the end of the day, what you take is what you need to survive. You know, your husband and your, I would want to take my dog and cat, but I don't think they could do that. So you take the basics. And if you have kids, you worry more about them. And you take, you know, underwear and enough clothing to get through and maybe food for a journey. I don't know. But to walk into a home and be given these things is like being able to start from a realistic starting place instead of, you know, 100 yards back.
Yeah, that's really brilliant. And I mean, many people saw the post, and like, and I'm sure some did something, some didn't. What is it that made you decide that you should immediately go out and fill up your cart at Target and buy these products?
You know, like I said, I think for me, I was raised that way. You know, my mom worked with victims of domestic violence when I was a little kid. I remember going to women's shelters with her. We've certainly had times in our lives where we didn't have a lot due to a rough divorce and a number of other monetary issues. You know, I remember going to my freshman year homecoming dance wearing a dress from Goodwill. And I know what a difference having some beautiful things makes, and having some clean, beautiful things. So it's just, I have a strong heart for giving back, I guess, is probably the way I would look at it. The emphasis I'm doing in my graduate degree is actually on servant leadership. I'm not sure if that's a thing that you're familiar with.
Yeah, so I am. So my day job, I'm the director of a Center for Women and Gender Equity on a college campus. So I'm all about, yes. Yes, so go ahead.
We should be friends.
No, we'll be friends for sure. We'll have to have coffee when I come to town.
I would love that.
Me too.
So, you know, you can't obviously can't do everything and fill every need. And I've been a partner with St. Jude since 2005, since I was in college. I give to the Humane Societies. Those have kind of been my two big ones, children and pets.
Awesome.
But I think being an adult and watching things over the last few years especially, you really start to see that people are afraid of the other, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
You know, I'm people are afraid of, you know, things that look, people that look different, people that sound different, people that act different. You know, at our school in Colorado that Chris and I started, that's still going, it was 70% Hispanic. And that was coming from a girl from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, that was different. But it's just, it's always amazed me that people's initial reaction for so many people to somebody that looks or sounds or believes differently is fear and push. And I want to do what I can to make it go the other way. So I guess that's a whole lot of emotion in one sentence.
No, I love it. Yeah, I love it. And we'll unpack it a little bit too. So I'm like, what do you think the opportunities are? I've watched Wisconsin at different times. Like, when I moved here half a lifetime ago, I felt defensive when people would be like, have you ever seen a person of color before? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no, I went to St. Cloud State. My friends are all people of color, actually. But yes, they, you know, we don't look like, it's almost like a flyover territory. And then I went back during the pandemic and I saw my parents' hometown and Trump signs everywhere. And it felt a little different. And I worried more about things like Islamophobia. And so I'm curious kind of if you could give me the pulse of like, what do you think are the most exciting opportunities for this new population of people, many of whom will be Muslim, coming in to WASA? And, you know, what are going to be maybe the growing pains?
So I feel you on the Wisconsin bit. I went to high school in Madison. I went to Madison East. Of the four high schools in Madison, we had the highest population of Black and Hispanic students, and even that wasn't a lot. And we were tracked in ways that you didn't really see people. A lot of people that were different than you. I did my undergraduate at Point. not quite the same experience you had. Certainly a little more exposure, but not a lot. But we've always traveled. You know, certain things in my life have always been very open. Both of my mother's brothers are gay. I had an Aunt John before I was born. you know, I've spent some time on Fire Island. I've spent time in different big cities. I lived in Dallas with my birth father for a while. My mother's first boyfriend after she divorced my father was a wonderful Black man from Ethiopia, who named his children named our cat Wusha, which means dog in Ethiopian, and they thought it was really funny because we didn't know that. So, you know, my own personal experience was kind of one thing, but the state as a whole is, you know, what is the joke? We have ethnic minorities. We have Germans and, you know, Norwegians.
But and yet there's that joke. And yet at the same time, you know, I can really see the demographics shifting. Like I look at Whitehall where when I go to visit, like, Whitehall, for example, which has now, like, kind of three primary populations, Amish, Latinos, and then, you know, like, working class white people. And so it seems like Wisconsin as a whole is really changing.
I think we are seeing growth and change. I was away from WASA for, 12 years. Doing my graduate degree and then going out to Colorado and working for a while. When Chris and I came, well, back for me, not for him, I imported. we came back to Wisconsin to take care of my parents. And I did find it was different. There was certainly more multicultural, which I loved. There were a lot. I feel like you can see it a lot through food and grocery stores. When you go someplace, if there are restaurants, ethnic restaurants run by the actual ethnicity that is the restaurant,
right?
That says something. You know, we have more than one Mexican grocery store. We have more than one Asian market. So I do think it's changing, especially in the bigger cities. And obviously, Madison and Milwaukee and you know, Green Bay and Appleton have always been a little bit more cosmopolitan, if you will. I think WASA's been slowly moving in that direction. For me, WASA feels very segmented, might be the word I want. Okay. Fragmented feels too much like saying broken, but it's a very purple city. There are neighborhoods and areas and places that feel very welcoming, where you don't see the Trump signs, where, you know, we saw the community for all signs the first time we were trying to become a community for all.
Okay.
Before the New York Times article.
Right. I heard about that.
And there are obviously places that are not. We have a wonderful agricultural community here. Wonderful farms run by lots of different people. Some Amish, some Hmong. We've been a CSA member of a farm for a few years now. She's actually from like New York. and she's, did I lose you?
No, I'm listening.
Oh, there you are. Okay. We have another where a couple learned their organic farming out on the West Coast. So whereas I think traditionally you thought of people thought of agriculture as a very, you know, maybe conservative Trump supporting group, here they're very split. So it's very purple. It's sometimes an inspiring place to be. I think the world of our mayor, I think very highly of our police chief. We had an incredible female fire chief for a while. She just retired. And sometimes it's a very frustrating place to live when you read the transcripts of some of the school board meetings, or you hear the comments from people about why calling ourselves a community for all would actually hurt the community.
Oh, really? People say that?
I mean,
I guess I'm not surprised. Yeah. It reminds me of kind of like the, it's not unique just to Wisconsin. I'm even thinking about the local paper here in the Bay Area. Somebody wrote in and they're like, did you know what critical race theory is? And it's like, you mean teaching history for like what it is, like, and its totality?
Actual history?
Yeah.
Like what happened?
It's not.
And you're right. It's not just Wisconsin. You know, my grad program is online, and I got super frustrated the other day, and I'm still working on a response because one of my classmates, who is quite a bit older than I am, one of the other non-traditionals, posted as a support to his point an opinion piece from the I think it was the Wall Street Journal, one of those, from a guy who was basically saying that the media makes us racist by calling out things like how did he put it? Oh, but saying that the racial motivation for the George Floyd death was never proven, saying that we're teaching liberal propaganda with the 1619 Project in elementary schools, which, first of all,
right,
not liberal propaganda. Second of all, nobody's trying to teach that in elementary school, maybe high school.
You know what? I'm gonna
school.
Right. That's really interesting. We will be friends for sure. I want to send you, I just on a personal, like not necessarily connected. I want to send you, like I covered the George Floyd case pretty extensive. I cover like police related deaths all the time. And so have you seen the movie Fruitvale Station? It's about Oscar. Okay, it's about Oscar Grant. He was like the one in the Bay Area who was killed in 2009 when a police officer pulled his gun instead of the taser. It was made by Ryan Coogler, the same person who made Black Panther. Anyways, so his like Wanda Johnson, the mother of this person, became like kind of a national spokesperson, and she speaks so eloquently. I kind of want to send it to you, and you can like plop it into your response and be like, "Hey." Yeah. I mean, because she's really good about also not, like, you know, bashing the messenger who's, like, just... would this have happened to a white man? No, like, not at all. It's about $20. Like, I'll give you $20. You know, like... Right? Like... Right? Because that was the only charge. It was a counterfeit 20... Like, maybe. No one saw the proof of that even, but, you know.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It's... And that... That to me, I think, is probably the most frustrating thing in day-to-day life right now is that as a society, we literally are hearing two different truths. We are seeing the same things, and we are interpreting them completely differently. Mm-hmm. And because we are, you know, we're seeing these things through our schemas and our beliefs and all of that, it is so ingrained into us because we're interpreting it through literally our heart and soul that we barely can even communicate with each other about things. You know, I have, in my family, just to keep it reasonably personal, I have two older brothers, both of whom I love, mm-hmm. Both of whom voted for Trump. One of whom, at least, his family is not being vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart. And at the same time, we had a conversation maybe 5 years ago, where his wife, who works in the restaurant industry just like I do, told me to my face that she doesn't believe racism exists anymore. And she would know because most of the people she works with are black in the kitchen.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh my, yeah.
And, you know, and I have somebody I know in town who truly, truly believes that the insurrection at the Capitol could not have happened the way that it did because it would have taken them too long to make that walk. So clearly they were framed.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, I mean, sure. People will believe what they'll believe.
But you can't, you know, and I can say to him, I've made that walk. I know how long it takes. They absolutely could have done it. And it's just, no, they couldn't.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's so frustrating because from a communication standpoint, I know that the best way to have somebody listen to you is to make sure that they feel heard and safe and sharing and that you create that space and that environment where you can have a dialogue. But it's so hard to do.
Yes. Yes. No, I love it. I appreciate your perspective so much. And then let's see. So getting back to like Giving Tree and
story.
Well, no. I mean, this was a part of it, right? Because I talked about, you know, what are the opportunities and how is this going
to
help?
Yes, let's get back to the actual question.
Well, I mean, I think you're and like we're talking about divisiveness and opportunities. Yes. And so I don't know about like if your thoughts about Islamophobia or like, you know, fears that you're hearing from the community and also on the other side, thoughts about kind of building bridges between the different communities.
I was so happy attending this volunteer session, not just because of the organization and what they were saying, but the questions from the attendees were beautiful. They were asking things like, have we reached out to the grocery stores to talk about foods that they should look at starting to bring in? Have we reached out? What are we doing to make sure that their religious needs are met? What are we doing to make sure that their culinary needs are met? Because not only different foods and different spices, but different ways of butchering. Mm-hmm. It's different, obviously. What are we doing to make sure the community understands not just the big picture, which is that they're going to be families that look different from us, but also helping that transition. You know, they were asking about food and culture and holidays and just so many different things that, you know, we're all different. We all have a story. And I love the fact that I'm looking around this room and seeing people I don't know, because sometimes it can feel a little echo chambery and insular. You know, between the neighborhood that I live in and the people on my Facebook feed and the people that I see regularly in the places that I go to at the farmer's market, at Whitewater, the coffee shop, at, you know, at certain restaurants that I know, you know, those of us who share a similar schema and belief tend to go to the same places. So you get to know the faces, and there were people here I'd never seen before, and that I really appreciated, and I really appreciate the questions. They talked about mental health, which I'm sure you know, doing your day job, it is of the utmost importance in, mm-hmm. in our world, mm-hmm. Especially for people who have undergone a trauma, yeah. you know, and making sure that they have the support that they need, you know, physically and mentally, you know, getting into that kind of hierarchy so they can feel safe and comfortable, and they can ask for help and that help is made available. You know, they talked about and asked about gender roles, which are different in a lot of ways, and different signs of respect. And the organization has started to send out videos, and there's a certain gesture, and maybe it's a thumbs up. I have to look at my stuff. That's very disrespectful.
Okay.
But, oh, it is. It's the thumbs up, because they were talking about how on Facebook, the thumbs up is like, and that is apparently a sign of disrespect in that particular culture. And so that's just something to be aware of.
So there's there's a pretty sophisticated conversation going on in inclusive-minded questions.
That.
Yeah.
I think if... I wish I could tell you that I don't think they're going to face racial prejudice, but that would be a lie. I think that people of color face racial prejudice in any city that they go to.
Right.
You know, I was in Boston during 9/11. That's when I was at Emerson, at grad school. And it felt like it took days to go from we're all in this together to looking at anybody with a darker skin tone with suspicion, in terms of, you know, just walking around and hearing things and seeing things. You know, I think the goal has to be that we try to create an environment where they get, where we all get the support that we need, but where the refugees get the support that they need to deal with what they're going to face, whatever that might be. I think it's irrational and nonsensical to say they're not going to face it. We just have to be prepared to support them when they do.
Well, and you're in a perfect place, right? You work in a restaurant, or, you know, manage one, and, you know, it's so many connections come down to the simple act of breaking bread together. So who knows, absolutely. Maybe you'll have an opportunity to have something in your space where people could have tea together or something.
I would love that.
But I mean, I can see that you're really thinking about it, and that there's many community members, you know, that have it in mind. And of course, this is a group that people have been fed a particular narrative about on the media, for sure. You know, sometimes when terrorists are talked about, like, there's this thing that used to happen on TV where every time that happened, they would show, like, a mosque. Now, of course, we know the most common terrorist is actually a white man in his 50s.
A white 20-something male with a bug up his ass?
Yeah, yeah. So for your particular project, what are you still looking for from the community? How can people get involved? Tell us more about that.
So I actually just updated my Facebook post yesterday with a note about which things I'm still looking for. My hope was that everything would go really quickly and I would do a second tree. So it's that kind of paying forward or giving back. I think there's a lot of little things that we can do to make a difference, you know? So maybe this inspires something else. Maybe your article inspires something else.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Just because we're having so many technical difficulties today, which we really shouldn't. Like, also my audio device like stopped recording during a little section of that, but I got it back. But I think it's okay.
Don't hesitate to call me back or reach out via text if you have questions.
Yeah, don't worry. I certainly will. The only other thing, you actually jogged my memory about the other question. While you were talking, you said one person refused wine. So I know, in the spirit of meeting people where they are, like, you know, many people drink wine.
Muslim identifying people don't. Have you thought about an alternative? Like if somebody doesn't, if they'd love to get something free, like could they get coffee instead, or how does that work?
I actually put in my original Facebook post that anybody who is a non-drinker, I am happy to treat them to food or coffee. And I also said the same thing to my out-of-town friends. Anybody who wants to do it and have something shipped next time we're together. Because yes, absolutely, not everybody is a drinker. I have some close friends, including my sister's future husband, who don't drink at all.
Got it. Yeah, and then what else do you want to add?
Oh, what else do I want
we've
to add?
We've covered a lot.
I guess I just want to add that none of this is about me. None of it is about the volunteers. You know, we're conduits, hopefully.